It is good to be back here once again. We always look forward to it and are encouraged every time we're able to be here. And we do hope that we can be an encouragement to you this morning and this evening. Do appreciate that devotion. It's definitely a lesson that I know that I need in my life. I don't like to wait. I don't like to be patient. And usually I rush my wife out of the house because I don't want to wait. And we end up someplace 30, 40 minutes early and we just wait. And I don't like to wait, but especially when it comes to prayer. And the ending of that devotion is a great segue for our lesson this morning. You know, a lot of times we don't like to wait on our prayers. We pray and expect an answer right now. And when the Lord doesn't answer, we try to help Him. And as He made mention, He doesn't need our help. And if you look in the Scriptures, the times that we try to help God, or that someone tries to help God, it doesn't end up working well. We know about Abraham and Sarah, and they try to help God along with their promise of Isaac, and that caused them a whole lot of problems with Ishmael and all that. But we're going to look at a prayer in the Bible of Nehemiah, a prayer of Nehemiah this morning, and we all know what's going on, and we're just going to try to glean some things from his prayer and kind of compare it to our prayer life. And I really do like looking at prayers in the Bible. I think several times ago we looked at the prayer of Jabez over in Chronicles and that powerful but short prayer. And we can just learn so much from the prayers of men and women of the Bible. And we see here in the book of Nehemiah, we know a few things. We know that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, and that position speaks of great character for Nehemiah. The king wouldn't choose someone that he didn't respect or have great trust in to be his cupbearer. He was to test the king's drink, and if somebody wanted to poison the king, Nehemiah had access. He could have easily slipped something into the king's drink, but he was a very trustworthy person. I mean, he got to reside in the palace. You know, we kind of compare Nehemiah to Daniel a little bit. Daniel was in a great position with the king and great authority, and he got to live in the palace when all of his brethren and sisters and fellow Israelites, they were all in captivity and slaves. But Nehemiah, like Daniel, they got to stay in the palace. They were safe. They were secure from the persecution, from having to work the hard life, if you will. But we see in Nehemiah, we read the first three verses and we'll work our way through this. But it says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." So we know what's going on in the book of Nehemiah. We know the children of Israel, they were taken captive once again. There were some left behind, but many of the men and children and women were taken away to serve another king, to serve another land. And we see there was great affliction in the land. They were just conquered by the Babylonians. There was only a remnant remaining, and this was once a great people. The Israelites had grown up to be relatively a great people, but now there's just a few left, a remnant. We know that their protection was gone. Their walls were destroyed. Their gates were burned with fire. They were completely desolate in many ways. We know that Jerusalem was destroyed, a once great city of that nation, their holy city, if you will, where they go and worship God. It was completely destroyed. The temple was destroyed. We know the people were in reproach. They were being taunted by their enemies. They were being mocked and criticized. The Hebrew word for reproach is translated shame. You know, they were being shamed by their enemies. They were being looked down upon. Their enemies were being disgraceful to them, to their God. They were mocking the great God of Israel. There was no respect given to the people or to God. They thought God of nothing. They relatively easily walked into their city to God's holy land and just destroyed them. So they had no respect of God. You know, we think about the times that Nehemiah was in. It's very similar to days that we're in. You know, the world is seemingly conquering Christians. It seems like the Christians are a dying breed, if you will. They're being conquered by the world. There's only a remnant remaining, or so it seems, that there's only a few.
of once was a great people, a Christian nation, if you will, is now just a few. A few faithful servants that are left to serve the Lord. We see that churches are being attacked and destroyed. They're closing their doors at alarming rates. They really can't do anything. There's no reverence for the Almighty God. I didn't really live in the time, but I've heard stories of a time where even the lost, the wicked world, had some sort of reverence for the Lord. They wouldn't use the Lord's name in vain. They wouldn't walk into churches and disrespect the building or the people, but now that's all gone. People will openly mock God. They will disrespect churches. They won't have any reverence for churches or the building or the people. We know the world is taunting and mocking God, just tempting Him. You know, we hear that with the Titanic, and they wrote that down, even God can sink that ship. They tempted the Lord, and we see what the Lord did to that ship and to those people. But the world is tempting and mocking God. The things that we learn about Jesus teaching His disciples, they're happening more and more. When Jesus warns them about the end times, of what's going to come to pass, about the people mocking and those things, it's coming. And we see these are the times that they're in. And we see that Nehemiah, he asked about the people that were left. He wanted to know how his brethren were. He was disconnected from them, from the people of Israel. And he had a concern for the people. He wanted to know what was going on. And when he heard the news, we see in beginning in verse 4 that Nehemiah goes to the Lord in prayer. And that's where we're going to spend our time here in these next few verses. And in verse number 4 of chapter 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, that the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out of the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." So we see here, Nehemiah had great concern for the people of Israel. When he heard what was going on, that they were being reproached, there was only a remnant left, they were being destroyed and conquered, they were being mocked and criticized, their gates were burned with fire, and immediately Nehemiah went to prayer. He didn't wait, he didn't try to solve the issue on his own, he didn't try to come up with his own plan as to save the nation of Israel. He immediately went to the Lord. He asked about his brethren. He asked, but he also listened. Now, how often do we ask about someone's day or what they're going through, and we don't really want to know about it? We just ask out of common courtesy or just to put on a show. But Nehemiah actually was concerned for his brethren. He asked about them. He listened. He was heartbroken over what was going. It says that he wept and mourned. This situation was personal for Nehemiah. He loved God. He loved God's people. We can learn from that. We should have a great love for God's people all throughout the world, not just, our families that we're close to, but all of God's people. Romans 12 and verse 14 tells us, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Too often we don't do any of that, do we? When someone of our Christian brothers and sisters, they rejoice, and oftentimes we're wondering, why not me? Or, they weep, and we think, well, they deserve it, or better than me. But Nehemiah, the people were suffering, and Nehemiah wept along with them. He was troubled. It says that he fasted. He had a great burden for the people of the Lord. says that, and then he went and prayed before God. He wanted God to help the situation. He went to the one that could solve the problems, as Brother Smith talked about, the God that made the universe, that could control everything. That's who he went to. And then we see in the beginning in verse 5 that when Nehemiah begins this prayer, that he acknowledged God. You know, too often we just jump right into what we want or what we think or what we need. But Nehemiah took a moment to acknowledge God. He says, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God." He just took a moment to really reflect upon who God was. That he was praying to someone that could answer his prayer, that had the power to do so. And too often we think about what we want or what we need, and we don't acknowledge who God is. That who we're praying to, the Almighty and great God. He had a personal, intimate knowledge of God. He knew the conditions that must be followed. He knew that he must know who God is. You know, God doesn't answer the prayers of the lost. He doesn't hear their prayers. He doesn't hear the prayers of those that are burdened with sin, with unconfessed sin in their lives. We're told that can hinder our prayer life. But Nehemiah knew he had to go before the Almighty God. You know, have we ever really taken a moment just to think about who we're praying to? Think about how great it is. We won't turn there, but if you read Psalms 95 in the first, I think, 7 or 8 verses there, it talks about that God and how marvelous He is and who we're praying to. And we need to take a moment. You know, when the Lord taught His disciples to pray, which is you know, commonly misnamed the Lord's Prayer. It's just an example prayer. But He made mention to hallowed be thy name. To take that brief moment and to show reverence and respect to the Lord. So we see Nehemiah acknowledging God in his prayer, and then we see that Nehemiah persevered in his prayer. And we're going to try to go through this quickly. But in verse number 6, it talks about that. He says, "Which I pray before thee now, day and night." Nehemiah just didn't pray one time to the Lord and ask, you know, for the people. And this, that was it. If he answered, he answered. If he didn't, he didn't. Nehemiah was constant in his prayer life. He persevered. He kept going. He went to the Lord day and night on behalf of the people of Israel. He continued in prayer for that one thing. And we see that when the people prayed for Peter, and when Peter was taken away, the people came together, the church there, and they continually prayed for Peter until the Lord delivered him back to them. But Nehemiah was concerned. This was the only thing on his mind. We know that prayer can be tiring. It can be exhausting. You know, maybe we lose some sleep. Maybe we're laying in bed at night and we're so burdened, or we're talking to the Lord that we lose a couple hours of sleep. And Nehemiah says he prayed day and night. I can imagine that he lost a lot of sleep over the situation. We know that Paul, when he had that thorn of the flesh, that he prayed 3 times. He kept praying. The Lord remove it. And he said that if you're not going to remove it, that's fine. And God finally answered and told him that his grace was sufficient for thee, and that you're just going to deal with it, Paul, and I'm going to help you with that thorn of the flesh. But Paul kept praying until he got an answer. And that's what Nehemiah was doing here. He was praying until the Lord saw fit to answer day and night. And then we see that Nehemiah confessed sins in his life. We see that in verse 6 again, where he says, "Thy servants and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." There isn't a moment in our lives where we go to the Lord that there's probably not a sin we need to confess to the Lord. And Nehemiah knew that in order for his prayers to be answered, he needed to confess sin. We see that in Psalm 66, how our sin can hinder our prayers. That, and then Isaiah 59, it tells us that it's not that the Lord can't hear us, that the Lord can't help us, but he says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." That our sins can hinder our prayer life. And Nehemiah knew this, so he took a brief moment after acknowledging God and persevering in prayer. He confessed the sins of the people and himself. And notice how he didn't just say the sins of thy people. Now, he knew that the children of Israel sins, and he asked for forgiveness for those sins. But then he says, "I and my father's house have sinned." He made it personal. He confessed his own sins to the Lord. You know, in our prayer life, we need to confess our sins to the Lord. You know, too often we think, well, this is happening because so-and-so, or, you know, I think my generation loves to blame our parents. You know, we look at the trouble this nation is in, and we always go to, you know, well, if our parents just kept prayer in schools, or if our parents fought for this, or if our parents didn't give up and let this creep into to our churches or to our governments, and so on and so forth, but it's not all about them. We have as much to blame as anybody in my generation and generations that follow. There's always going to be sin in our lives that need to be confessed. And Nehemiah made sure he mentioned that he has sinned, his house has sinned, and he wanted the Lord to forgive them for it. So he confessed his sin. And so far we see that Nehemiah acknowledged God. He confessed his sin in his life. And then we begin to see that Nehemiah claimed the wonderful promises of God. He goes on in verse number 8 through 10. We won't read them again, but he reminds God a little bit. He says, you know, I remember the promises you made to Moses. You know, saying that if we transgress against you, you're going to scatter us among the nations. And that held true. Israel was held captive because they went against the Lord. And the Lord promised, if you do this, you're going to be scattered. You're going to be into captivity. And the Lord kept that promise. But he also makes mention of verse number 9. He says, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them. And then the end of that verse is, and will bring them unto the place. Yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. He says, if you just repent, I'll bring you back. I'll restore you once again. So Nehemiah was reminding God, not that he needed to be reminded, but I think Nehemiah needed to remind himself what the Lord had promised, that if we just confess, if we get right with God, he will bring us back to a place that we rightfully belong, that we should belong. So Nehemiah was claiming these promises. And in doing so, Nehemiah was showing great faith in God. You know, he knew that his prayers could be answered. He knew these promises were true. And as Brother Smith said in the devotion, you know, sometimes we pray and then we're surprised that God answers. You know, Nehemiah was praying, fully expecting the Lord to answer these promises, to keep them and answer his prayers. Now, we know in the Word of God there are some promises that we can claim and some that we cannot. You know, some promises we read about in the Word of God are just for the nation of Israel. And, you know, we as people, we cannot claim those promises. We know that other promises have conditions to them, that if we do this, then the Lord will do this or do that. So we got to be careful that we claim the promises that we know that we can claim, that we meet the conditions for it. And Nehemiah was meeting these conditions because he said, I am confessing the sins of my people. I'm asking for forgiveness. Therefore, I can claim these promises that you'll restore us. And that also tells us that we need to know what the promises of God are. You know, too often we pray to God and we really don't understand why we're praying what we pray. But Nehemiah knew the promise because he read the scriptures. He heard the scriptures. He knew them. He studied and he knew the promise that he can claim. In our lives, we need to read the Word of God. We need to know the promises of God. Therefore, that when we need them, we can claim them. We can go to the Lord and say, you promised this. And this is what I want, or this is what we need. And then in verse 11, in this prayer, we see a great desire from Nehemiah. You know, he had a great burden for the Lord's people, great burden for the people of Israel and the nation there, and he wanted to ultimately go and rebuild the city, as we'll see later, but he desired something great. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah desired to grow spiritually and grow closer to God. You know, he had a great burden, a great need, and he wasn't just going to the Lord asking for a favor or asking for a wish or anything like that. He wanted those things, but he also wanted to be closer to the Lord. And he's praying these things. He referred himself as a servant. And in doing so, he was completely submitting to God's authority. And saying that I am your servant, he's saying, you know, if you answer this prayer or not, you're the Lord, you're the master, I'm just a humble servant. James chapter 4, we're told to submit ourselves to God. That's how we are to be. We are to submit to him as servants. to submit to His will, whatever that will may be. He desired to fear God more. He says, who desired to fear thy name? He wanted to be closer. He wanted to respect the Lord more. He wanted to know who the Lord is. And I think the more that we know who God is, the more that we're going to love Him, and the more that we're going to serve Him and want to do things for Him. Nehemiah's like, I want to be closer. I want to know You. I want to fear You more, respect You more. And ultimately, we find out that he really wants to go and worship God in the temple once again. He wants to go worship in the God, in the place that he is meant to worship. Now, I don't know how you guys handled the whole corona, COVID pandemic thing here, but there was a few weeks where our church wasn't able to meet together. You know, thankfully, the Lord has blessed us with technology. We were able to video stream the services so we could listen and watch our pastor as he brings forth messages, but it really wasn't the same as being in the Lord's house. You know, if we're away from the Lord's house very long, and even if we're studying, even if we're listening to message, it's not the same as being in the house of God. We should have that burden to go and worship Him in the place the Lord has given us to worship. And that was Nehemiah. No doubt Nehemiah was still studying to the best of his ability. His prayer life was still intact. He was still trying to read the scriptures when he could, but he wasn't in the house of the Lord. He wasn't in the temple. He wasn't in Jerusalem where he wanted to be. He was yearning to go back. And we see this prayer of Nehemiah, this great burden. And that's what our prayer life should be. We should have burdens for God's people. Now, how often do we pray and we just pray for ourselves and we end it there? But Nehemiah took the time to pray for the Lord's people, to pray for his loved ones. And he prayed, took time to acknowledge who God is, and he wanted to be closer to God. And in chapter 2, we won't read it, we don't have time, but the first five verses, we see God's answer to prayer. We see not only does God hear this prayer of Nehemiah, he answers it. We see that God softened the heart of the king Artaxerxes, and he worked on the king. And it's just amazing how God works. He can work through wicked and vile people to make his will be known or to make his will come about. You know, this king destroyed the people of Israel, took them captive, destroyed their lands, took them as slaves. And now we see that the king is going to allow Nehemiah to go back and rebuild that city. And that just boggles my mind. Why would this king destroy a city and then go and say, okay, you can go back and rebuild it. You can help your people. You can make Israel great once again. You can fix the walls around Jerusalem. But the Lord worked on this king. He softened his heart. In verse number 5, he says, "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." We see Nehemiah had a great desire to be used. He wanted to be used of God. He wanted to do something great. As Joshua said, he said, send me. He wanted to be sent. He wanted to be used. You know, we need to be willing and want to be used of God. You know, too often we pray for the people of for the people of God. We pray for our loved ones, our neighbors, our family members that are lost or those that are hurting. And we usually end, you know, something like, you know, just send someone. You know, send someone to knock on my family's door. Send someone to witness to my loved ones or send someone to help that brother or sister in need. That's not the attitude we need to take. Nehemiah just didn't pray to God and ask the king to send someone. He prayed to God and asked the king to send me, to send Nehemiah, to be use me to go and help the people. That should be our attitude, that we should want to go help. We should be the witness and the testimony they need. And one of the most amazing things in these chapters, and I can't remember exactly what verse it is, but when Nehemiah goes back and builds the walls and he helps the people there, there's a verse that tells it that God gave the people a mind to work. And that amazes me. He gave these people a mind to work. He got them all on the same page. And you can imagine building a wall and the way they did it, they all built the walls in front of their own houses and they had to defend it. They had a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other. They were building different sections of the walls. And you can imagine if if they all had different ideas about how this wall was going to be made and how high or how long this wall was, it wouldn't match up. But he gave the people a mind to work, to be cohesive, to work together. And that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray that God's people work together. You know, so we see in this prayer that Nehemiah saw great affliction among the people of God. He took it to the Lord in prayer with a genuine love for God's people. He wanted to be used. And all because of that prayer, the walls were rebuilt. Jerusalem was on its way to becoming a great city once again, and eventually it was restored, and eventually we know it was destroyed again. But God answered the prayer of Nehemiah. Because he prayed in the right manner, he had the right heart, he was willing to be used. And that's how our prayer life should be, much like Nehemiah's, to want to be used of God and wanted to have a great burden for the Lord's people. We need to pray like Nehemiah prayed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning once again, Lord.